All right, I'm here with Joe and Melissa, and we're going to talk a little bit about some different topics related to Santa Cruz. Obviously, the homeless and their camp on Highway 1 in River Street is at the top of everyone's talking list lately. Let's chat a little bit about that. We all know about the illegal needle and Narcan handouts being done regularly inside and outside the camp behind Ross. Melissa, you've been a tireless crusader for common sense with regards to the lack of it being shown by the county, the city, and a few morally misguided enablers who have exacerbated a huge health crisis in that location. Give us your take on what needs to be done and what needs to be done differently.
So how I feel about this issue is pretty simple and I think pretty obvious for any medical professional. We have an Emmaline campus that runs a syringe services program. They run a county mental health program, and they also run a medical clinic where people can get medical services. Also at Emmaline is Janus MAT program. That's medication-assisted treatment. So if an addict wants to get help and get on methadone, it's all right there at Emmaline. So my take on this whole Camp Ross secondary needle exchange is that it absolutely needs to be shut down immediately because it's not being run properly and it's not being run by medical people. So I would advocate for it to be shut down and that the county and the city figure out a way to provide access to services for the Camp Ross residents. If they have to provide a bus, it's 1.5 miles away from Camp Ross. Otherwise, you know, it's kind of ridiculous to let people play, you know, fake medical clinic down on the levee. The other option that the county and the city could do is why not send public health nurses down to Camp Ross, set up a confidential medical tent camp like they do in any other camp to provide medical services, meaning wound care, nursing assessments, where a nurse can look at these residents, make sure that they're not, you know, don't have any life-threatening infections, provide them with treatment and education, and get them referred to real services to help them.
Great. And Joe, what are your thoughts on the needle madness in the homeless camp, and what needs to be done with regards to the camp and the unprofessional needle trick-or-treat program?
As you guys know, you read my stuff. I'm kind of a numbers guy, and my biggest problem with this camp behind the Gateway Plaza are the numbers. Chief Hayduk says there's 100 people sleeping there at night. Brent Adams, who's the city's go-to guy, regular there every day, he says there's 100 drug addicts, IV drug users. So 100 living there, 100 are addicts. To me, that's everybody. So let's call, first we need to call this thing for what it is. It's a homeless fucking drug camp. My problem with all of this is exactly what Melissa was saying. These people need to be seen by medical professionals instead of having some band of yahoos just freely distribute things. I believe that the numbers that Arnie Leff put out back in a couple weeks ago at a city council meeting, where there was 300 to 600 needles required daily for 100 individuals, it comes out to 4.5 times on average that these people are slamming dope in that camp. I'm not an addict. I don't know how long a heroin or a meth high lasts. I don't know how severe it or incapacitating it is. I got an idea that they're pretty much out of the picture while they're under the influence of whatever controlled substance of their choice is. It's got to occupy a greater part of the day. The other greater part of the day, and my biggest problem with drug addiction, is the misery it brings on everybody else. And that's in the form of property crime. This can't continue, and it can't be pushed into neighborhoods. They are trashing the Ross camp, the same way they trashed the Benchlands. The Benchlands is still fenced off. It's still recovering. Bernal, in his stupid letter he put out the other day, said that it's going to be, quote unquote, quite some time before we can clean up the mess that's behind Ross Camp. So now what do we want to do? We want to move this into the parks and in our neighborhoods so they can trash that. That's my problem with the needles in that camp. It's out of control.
So I think we're all in agreement that the county is responsible for homeless services, as it maintains a health services department for the county with a multi-million dollar budget. Yet the county seems not only disinterested, but unwilling to shoulder the financial burden of its responsibility. Ryan Coonerty seems to turn a deaf ear. John Leopold is the needle showrunner. How do we get past this wall of willful ignorance?
That is a very hard question. So I think people need to understand that historically, when the county took over the syringe services program, instead of really putting the money necessary behind it, they did kind of like a half-ass job of basically saying, okay, we support this syringe program, but we don't have really enough money to support it. So that's why you don't see medical professionals staffing it, which is part of the problem. If you're going to run a harm reduction program and you truly want to help drug addicts eventually, hopefully transition, you know, into some kind of treatment eventually when they're ready, right? When they choose it, because as we know, it has to be their choice. Nobody's can force treatment on anybody. So instead of the county really putting the full budget money behind it, they didn't do that. And once again, I think why they continue to run it this way is because the Board of Supervisors needs to step up. They need to ask for the real funding. They need to apply for the grants and the money that's out there from the federal government as much as the state government. There's money to run these programs correctly. It's part of the reason our county syringe program isn't under the California Department of Public Health. Why is that? Why are they not being, you know, certified by our own California Department of Public Health? And the reason they're not is because the requirements are different, and you have to present numbers and data back to them that your program is actually lowering the spread of disease. And our county program cannot prove or is not even tied to lower HIV hepatitis C rates. So what I'd like to see the Board of Supervisors do at this point, because they've all been well educated, they've been supplied with the data, the advocacy is there, they've heard from the community for years, even their own grand jury of all the mistakes being made. We need three Board of Supervisors to take a stand based on facts and data and science to straight up say, okay, we want to help people struggling from substance use disorders in our town. We understand the intersection of drug addiction with then time spent in jail, resources with our police officers, millions of medical health care costs. So we are going to provide wraparound services. We are going to do a robust program to actually address drug addiction in our local town. And I have not seen that happen. I've seen Band-Aid solutions. So immediately what needs to happen is that this group of local politicians needs to stop supporting people that do not have the proper credentials and start supporting and listening to the people that actually work boots on the ground with this population and know what works. That's what I'm advocating for.
I agree. Mostly. My big issue with the way the county provides services is largely that they shed responsibility as a systemic approach. When a government agency contracts out to service providers, it automatically takes them out of any liability loop. For instance, Janus. We spend $8 million a year out of our budget on Janus. And that organization is exempt from being audited or reviewed by the civil grand jury. And it's done on purpose. Same thing with the CFMG and the county jails. Now, prior to that contract service provider being used, the grand jury could go in and audit medical treatment for inmates. They can't do that anymore. The only thing they can do now is respond to a death in the jail. And just investigate the death in the jail. What they cannot do is investigate CFMG and their policies and practices.
Okay, next question. Let's talk Lot 24. They paved Paradise and put them in a parking lot. Apologies to Joni Mitchell. The neighbors are furious. Injunctions and lawsuits are being discussed. What do you think about offering this space as an alternative to the current camp? I know that they're saying that it's only going to be a dusk, quote, dusk to dawn sleeping area, but does anybody really think that that's going to be the case?
We all know better than that. You know, what's so disingenuous about this whole process is here you've got poor Dan Foy, the owner of Perigo's, you know. He showed up to the city council meeting. You know, they weren't even honest necessarily publishing where this location exactly was, right? It's literally the backside of his fence, okay?
Three feet away.
There's literally three feet. So when I went to go visit Dan Foy, you know what I found behind his back fence that was thrown over the fence? An old moldy backpack, okay? And old clothes that had already been thrown and had been back there for how long, right? One of his workers brought me an old paint can full of needles that they've already collected from being in that location, you know? And what people need to understand is that Depot Park and that whole area, prior to them putting that fake turf soccer field down there, used to be a mess. It used to be an unsanctioned homeless encampment where people would hang out all day. I mean, we just had somebody stab a mom there. So it's not only that it's by a park where families want to take their kids and soccer games are being played out there every day till late at night. It's by railroad tracks where, as we all know, how do homeless people and transients travel? Well, they walk the tracks, right? And they toss whatever, they look for stuff, they sleep around there. But what kills me is, so you want to act like you are the compassionate, progressive city council, and you want to basically make people set up a tent, okay? They can't show up until 9 p.m. Quick, set up your tent, no drugs or alcohol. Somehow we're going to manage that, right? Once you set up your little tent, 50 of you come into this camp, okay? And then 6 a.m., we're going to roust a bunch of people and tell them, okay, break down your tent. And where are you going to go? Where do you think these people are going to go when they're
hanging out in Depot Park?
Yeah, not only Depot Park, but let's be honest, what is right down the way? The wharf, Cowles Beach, the boardwalk, where people already hang out right there, are your entrance to Santa Cruz. Welcome to Santa Cruz. Come play at the kids with your boardwalk, you know, is all right there. Your avenue to the west side and West Cliff. And this is the location because they don't have any other location that's not a park or an open space.
Well, and like I mentioned, there's a tourist train that runs right through the middle of this thing multiple times a day. And what are we going to do? We're going to have our ass hanging out while these tourists go by back and forth saying, wow, look how dysfunctional Santa Cruz actually is.
Well, that plus there's always the exciting, very real possibility of ambulances with their back doors open, slamming Narcan into people laying alongside the tracks, the police showing up, chasing suspects, bike parts all over the place. I'm not sure if that'll derail a train or not, but I can see piles of bike parts on train tracks.
I mean, the only benefit, you guys, of Lot 24 is that it is so close to the police station on the one hand. But what's a joke about it is that it's even far away from the services that these people need. So now you're moving them even further away from Emmeline campus, where the hub of all the services are,
River Street where the shelter is, right? So where basically the highway runs, downtown bus station, you're putting them in the middle of a downtown that we spent years to clean up and get back to a place where people would want to come bring their kids.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is, like, my personal feelings about this is, if they can open this River Street camp back up again, open that one up first. And if that doesn't fill up, there's no need for this Lot 24. So, you know, I mean, let's just open that one up and just see if it fills up again. If only 10 people show up to the River Street camp, there's no need to open up Lot 24 because we can't even fill the other secondary, better position lot that we've used in the past. So I just think that we're conflating these numbers beyond what we know they actually are, and we're just creating a lot of self-induced fear, paranoia, hysteria. I'm not saying that it's not legitimate. I'm just saying that we just don't know at this point how many people are actually convert from the current mess over by Ross into an actual homeless camp that's managed. Because right now, self-management has shown that it doesn't work.
Well, you bring up a good point, and this is what constituents have been asking since the Camp Ross cropped up. The city and the county cannot tell us who this population is at Camp Ross. They can't tell us how many times city or county officials have gone down there and offered shelter and been told no. They can't tell us what services they've offered these people and been told yes or no. Their own 2017 homeless census that the county did in 2017 said over 30% of our local homeless weren't even aware of what services they could sign up for. So once again, we have a whole population who is going down to Camp Ross and honestly taking stock of how many beds have been offered, how many have been denied, and then where are those people? What is our level of responsibility to provide more shelter for people who don't want that kind of shelter because you can't use drugs or alcohol? It's not low barrier. Both of these camps that they are offering us, the River Street and the Lot 24, are not low barrier camps, which these people online have identified. They will not show up to these camps and camp there if they can't self-govern and basically do what they need to do.
Okay, let's play the vibrantly honest lightning round. Simple yes or no. I'll include my own answers as well. Shut down the camp immediately.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We're unanimous. Open a new safe sleep dusk to dawn camp at Lot 24.
No.
No.
No. Unanimous again. Reopen the River Street camp.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So, 2 out of 3.
I don't want it near a city. I don't want it near businesses, residences.
Hey,
just yes or no, Joe. Put more pressure on the county.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We're unanimous there. Put more pressure on the Board of Supervisors.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we're, again, unanimous there. Fire Martine Bernal.
No.
Yes.
Yes. 2 out of 3.
Duh.
Recall any of the city council.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All 7.
Two out of 3 there, too. So listen, I want to thank Joe and Melissa for coming along. We're joining me on this very first Vibrantly Honest. Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate you participating.
Thanks.
And Joe.
My privilege.
As always,
so
good
much
to see you guys. And we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.